move on. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. When Yeshua came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. Okay, and I already talked about how that's meaningful, right? She's a woman, but he touches her. She's got a fever, but he touches her. The power goes out. She got up and served him. When evening came, they brought to him many possessed with demons. He cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, he took our infirmities and bore our diseases. All right, a couple quick things. She got up and served him, just a sign of the quickness and fullness of the healing, mm-hmm. right? She's already up and able to wait on them. When evening came, why when evening came? Well, if you read about the same story in Mark chapter 1, you know that the healing of Peter's mother-in-law happened on the Sabbath, right? So before that long journey, or where, you know, might be outside of a Sabbath day journey, or maybe they're still afraid to receive healing on the Sabbath because of the Pharisees or Pharisaic rulings or whatever. So they wait till the Sabbath's over. They just can't wait to get to him. They're not even going to wait till Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. You know, Saturday evening, Sabbath's over, bam, they're right there. We need your touch. We need these demons driven out. We need healing. What I really want to talk about, though, is this little quote from Isaiah 53, verse 4. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. This has to be, in my estimation, this has to be a little foreshadowing of the suffering Messiah role that Yeshua would play, right? Even though here it sounds like it just means he's healing them, the whole chapter of Isaiah 53, as we well know, is about the suffering servant. But this portion here in Matthew chapter 8 is about his authority. Let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah. Let's start where it really starts. Isaiah 52:13. Okay. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. How does the suffering servant song begin? It begins with this, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up. Anybody know the Hebrew there for high and lifted up? It's Ram Venisa. Ram Venisa, high and lifted up. In Isaiah, that speaks of God. If you look at Isaiah 6:1, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw Adonai sitting on a throne, Ram Venisa, high and lifted up. Okay. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and exalted one, translated a little differently there, but same Hebrew. For thus says the one who is Ram Venisa, high and lifted up. So before using this appellation on the suffering, before talking about the suffering servant, God bestows on him the same words used to describe God himself. He will be Ram Venisa. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. So let's take a look now at Isaiah 53.
Wouldn't that fit in with where you started earlier with 9 and 6? where he says he'll be called the Mighty God?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So this emphasizes, Isaiah 9 likewise emphasizes the divinity of Messiah. There's no way of getting around it without playing word games with the Hebrew. The one who will sit on the throne, on David's throne in Isaiah 9:6 or 9:5 in Hebrew Bibles, the one who will sit on the throne is El Gibor, God Almighty, right? And so people have to find ways of getting around that, but really it shows a divine Messiah. As does, going back, Isaiah 7:14, the virgin will be with child, and she will give birth, and and it's interesting there, Isaiah 7:14 doesn't say, really, the virgin will give birth. It says the virgin will be pregnant. I mean, that's a miracle. For a virgin to give birth, that might mean, I'm speaking in the future, you're a virgin now, one day you'll give birth. No, the virgin will be with child,
Where is it?
Isaiah 7:14. So, and she will call his name what?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, very good. Emmanuel, with us is God. So here at the end of Isaiah 53, verse 11, as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied by his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the mighty, because he poured out his soul to death and was counted with transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. This idea of the Messiah's authority and his suffering is intertwined in Matthew and in Isaiah and in the book of Hebrews as well, quite forcefully. He's made perfect through suffering. You know, Hebrews says, what does that mean? He's made perfect through suffering. Isn't Messiah always perfect? Yes, Messiah was and always has been without sin and perfect, but in his role as Messiah, that's brought to perfection and completion through his suffering. And so his authority is in his suffering, and his suffering is in his authority. He was made like us to bear our sins, and thus he'll be lifted up. It's because of this, as a result of the anguish of his soul, Isaiah 54:11 says.
So it's like because he humbled himself lower than all, he was exalted above all?
Right. Right. And Hebrews ties it in with Psalm 8, you know. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, and so forth. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? For you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and have crowned him with glory and honor. Hebrews says, we are not crowned with glory and honor, but this one, Yeshua, was made like us. He was made lower than the angels, and now he's exalted and crowned with glory and honor. And so, yeah, this is... This is tied in together greatly. His suffering, as well as what this portion is also about, which is his authority. His authority to heal. His authority to in Matthew 7. His authority to be the judge. I'll be the one. You'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And I'll say, I never knew you. He'll be the judge. The one who puts these words of mine into practice is like the one who built his house on a rock. My words are the ones that you need to be putting into practice. He's speaking with authority, but with that authority comes the reason why he came, the anguish of his soul. Okay.